Years. I'm told the purple wax or yellow wax is key for your kick zone. It's a tip for your skiers. My name is Greg Sand, and I'm this morning's board rep. We have a few brief announcements this morning. One is on updates to the church directory. These are due this month and will be updated and sent out in January. If you're not a member but have been involved at Lake Country Unitarian Church and would like your name listed, please sign up at the welcome table. The Christmas Eve service is happening, and that is in the announcement. Right in your order of service, please look at that. For last moment gift ideas for all you late shoppers, UU mugs will be for sale in the social hall after the service. And lastly, join us for our third Sunday outing right after the service today. We'll have a bonfire outside on the right on our property and do some natural decorations, picking a tree to decorate. I invite you to greet those around you. Hi, Sammy. How you doing? I think so, yeah. Once you're done reading, yeah, you can go out.
Morning, Greg.
Morning, Mark. Nice to see you.
Good. Did you get the wife already up?
Yep. As high as it'll go. If you are a visitor today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign our guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There's a variety of information about church life on the table. Help yourself to anything that interests you. I will be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church. If you're visiting us with your children, it is our custom for the children to remain in the service, and today is they'll be remaining for the entire service. The nursery is available just outside the doors to my right and across the entryway for the younger kids that would like to join the nursery folks. If there are any visitors who are comfortable introducing themselves, now is a good time to do that so we can warmly welcome you. Okay. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. Our conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion. Remember to put your cell phones on quiet mode during the service, and I hope you find this morning's service joyful.
So the children come. For so the children come, and so they have been coming. Always in the same way they come, born of the seed of man and woman. No angels herald their beginnings. No prophets predict their future courses. No wise men see a star to show where to find the babe that will save humankind. Yet each night a child is born is a holy night. Fathers and mothers sitting beside their children's cribs feel glory in the sight of a new life beginning. They ask, where and how will this new life end? Or will it ever end? Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping. Sophia Lyon Foss.
Life is a gift for which we are grateful. We gather in community to celebrate the glories and the mysteries of this great gift.
Good morning. We're going to start right away with the story for all ages. So all of the children are invited to come up to the front here and hear our story for the day. And Al Haskell is our reader.
How come you guys look so serious? You know that Christmas song that, can you hear me? There's a Christmas song that says, are you naughty or nice? Do you guys know that song? And it says, like, you're not supposed to fight because Santa Claus is going to find out if you're naughty or nice, right? Do you think that's just for kids? I have a poem. It's called The Boy Who Laughed at Santa Claus. And it's a poem by a person by the name of Ogden Nash, who's a little irreverent. I know you know that word. So I'm going to read it to you, and it's about this boy, and his name is Jabez. And Jabez, well, you'll hear about him. But sometimes when I listen to stories, I kind of put myself into the story. So I want you guys to kind of do that. So if I'm saying things that maybe you think you could act out, you could do that. Okay? So this is not a sitting story necessarily. You with me? Yeah? So in Baltimore, there lived a boy, and he wasn't anybody's joy. Although his name was Jabez Dawes, his character was full of flaws. In school, he never led his classes. He hid old ladies' reading glasses. His mouth was open when he chewed, and elbows to the table were glued. He stole the milk of hungry kittens and walked through doors marked no admittance. Now, he said that he acted thus because there wasn't any Santa Claus. Another trick that tickled Jabez was crying boo at babies. He brushed his teeth sideways, not up and down. Yet people pardoned every sin and viewed his antics with a grin. They thought he was fine till they were told by Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Well, deploring how he did behave, his parents swiftly sought their grave. They hurried through the portals pearly. And Jabez left that funeral early. Like a whooping cough from child to child, he spread the rumor wild. Sure as my name is Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. He slunk like a weasel or a marten. I don't see any slunkers. Through nursery and kindergarten, whispering low to every tot, there isn't any, no there's not. Well, the children, they all wept on Christmas Eve, and Jabez chortled up his sleeve. Now no infant dared to hang up his stocking for fear of Jabez's ribald mocking. Jabez sprawled on his untidy bed. He didn't make his bed.
You don't either?
Sometimes I don't either. Fresh malice was dancing in his head when presently, with his scalp a-tingling, Jabez heard a distant jingling, and he heard the crunch of sleigh and hoof crisply alighting on his roof. What good to rise and bar the door? There was a shower of soot on the floor, and what was beheld by Jabez Dawes? What do you think? The fireplace full of Santa Claus. Well, Jabez fell down upon his knees, and with cries of don't and pretty please, and he howled, I don't know where you read it, but anyhow, I never said it. And Jabez, replied the angry saint, it isn't I, it's you that ain't. Well, Jabez said with impudent vim, oh, yes, there is, and I am him. Your magic doesn't scare me, it doesn't. And then suddenly he found he wasn't. From grimy feet to grimy locks, Jabez became a jack-in-the-box. An ugly toy with springs unsprung, forever sticking out its tongue. And the neighbors, they heard his mournful squeal, and they searched for him, but not really with zeal. No trace was found of Jabez Dawes, which led to thunderous applause. And all who sneer at Santa Claus, beware that fate of Jabez Dawes, the saucy boy who mocked the saint. Oh, and then Donder and Blitzen licked off his paint. Thanks, you guys.
Freely we have received of gifts that minister to our needs of body and spirit. Gladly we bring to our church and its wide concerns a portion of this bounty. It is now time for our offertory. Time in our service for joys and concerns. And today we're going to have both silent and spoken joys and concerns. So those of you who just wish to come up and light a candle in silence are welcome to do so. And those of you who would like to say something about why you're lighting the candle are invited to do so as well. And Kelly will be standing there with a microphone by the table. So you're welcome to come forward at any time.
I'll begin with our tradition of lighting candles for all the joys and concerns and the strife in the world, that it may be resolved peacefully. So we now invite you to come up and share your joys and concerns. I'd like to share a concern for my friend Eileen Moores, who lives in Delafield and is having brain surgery tomorrow.
All kinds of joy as the 18th. Was approaching, the anniversary of Sam's accident. I was really stressing out, and I go into her room, and she's getting all dressed up where she would hide out in the house in the past on the 18th. She said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to live. I'm alive, and I'm going to go and be alive. And she approached the day with great joy and decided it was Louie's birthday today. That's her dog. She loves her dog. So she's transmuted this into her birthday, and so that was a beautiful thing. So that's a great joy.
Hi, I'm Barb. I'd like to light a candle of joy for this beautiful community of people that are all here together today.
Hi, my name's Beth. Candle of Joy. We have lots of family coming into town starting on Wednesday, and just joy for family coming together at the holidays.
Hi, I'm Barbara. I'd like to light a candle for two concerns. The first one is that my sister's breast cancer has spread to her liver, so she's going through more chemo. And the second one is for my son-in-law and my daughter, who have been battling being unemployed since March. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Emily. There was a candle earlier lit for family coming together, and this is a candle being lit for a family that is separated, and I have family here, but I have a lot of loved ones that are not going to be with me this holiday, and there's a lot of us that are separated from our loved ones right now, so this candle is being lit for that.
I'm Nora. I'm lighting a candle of joy for being done with my exams and finally being back with my family. And I know there's a bunch of other people in this situation, and also a candle of concern for my friends who are stuck taking exams until Christmas Eve.
Hi, I'm Kathy. A candle of concern for a double whammy this past week. My mother, who's 94, we just started talking about her needing to go into a nursing home, and my husband's mother, who is 84, her needing to go into assisted living, and it's all just sort of come to a very final point of making those decisions this past week.
Hi, I'm Mark. First, a concern. A colleague of mine, Cindy, her mother had surgery and thought she'd be able to come home, but she's having difficulties, and so I'm not sure when she's coming home. And a joy for my mother, who's 84, who last October broke her hip, which at that age can be quite traumatic, and yet she's doing very, very well. I saw her at Thanksgiving, and so she's driving and living alone and doing what she needs to do. So.
Hi, I'm Katie. I have a concern for my friend. Her sister has a brain tumor and is going to be in the hospital for Christmas, so I hope she gets better.
My name is Chris. A candle of thanks for my brother and sister-in-law and my niece who's expecting a baby because they were in a car accident yesterday in Florida, and everybody's okay, but it was a pretty close call.
I'm Jerry. I'd like to light a candle for our son and daughter-in-law in Germany who will be celebrating their first Christmas with their new daughter. And another candle, or I guess the same candle, for our daughter and grandson of Waukesha who are going through an awful divorce.
Hi, my name's Mike. I want to light a candle for the animals that gave their lives for my friends and my families and Kennedy's for our accessible deer hunting season this year. But, you know, it's an honor the souls of those animals that gave their lives for us.
And I'll light one final candle for all the joys and concerns we choose to keep to ourselves, with a reminder that Reverend Jane is always available if you have any you'd like to share privately with her.
Enter into a moment of silence, reflection, and prayer. When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the brothers, to make music in the heart. May it be so. Please join now in singing hymn number 225, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And I invite those who are willing and able to stand. We're going to hear A Child's Christmas in Wales, which is by Dylan Thomas, and it's going to be read by a professional reader. So just sit back and relax.
One Christmas was so much like the other in those years around the A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas. Read by Philip Murdoch. One Christmas was so much like another in those years, around the sea town corner now, and out of all sound, except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep, that I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and six nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was 6, or whether the ice broke and the skating grocer vanished like a snowman through a white trapdoor on that same Christmas day that the mince pies finished Uncle Arnold, and we tobogganed down the seaward hill all the afternoon on the best tea tray, and Mrs. Griffiths complained, and we threw a snowball at her niece, and my hands burned so with the heat and the cold when I held them in front of the fire that I cried for 20 minutes and then had some jelly. All the Christmases rolled down the hill towards the Welsh-speaking sea, like a snowball growing whiter and bigger and rounder, like a cold and headlong moon bundling down the sky that was our street. And they stop at the rim of the ice-edged, fish-freezing waves, and I plunge my hands in the snow and bring out whatever I can find. Holly, or robins, or pudding, squabbles and carols and oranges and tin whistles, and the fire in the front room, and bango the crackers, and holy, holy, holy ring the bells, and the glass bells are shaking on the tree, and Mother Goose, and Struwelpeter, oh, the baby burning flames, and the clacking sizzlemen, Billy Bunter, and Black Beauty, Little Women, and Boys Who Have Three Helpings, Alice, and Mrs. Potter's badgers, penknives, teddy bears, named after a Mr. Theodore Bear, their inventor, or father, who died recently in the United States. Mouth organs, tin soldiers and blancmange, and Auntie Bessie playing Pop Goes the Weasel and Nuts in May and Oranges as Lemons on the untuned piano in the parlour, all through the thimble-hiding, musical-chairing, blind-man's-buffing party at the end of the never-to-be-forgotten day, at the end of the unremembered year. In goes my hand into that wool-white, bell-tanked ball of holidays resting at the margin of the carol-singing sea, and out comes Mrs. Protheroe and the fireman. It was on the afternoon of the day of Christmas Eve, and I was in Mrs. Protheroe's garden, waiting for cats with her son Jim. It was snowing. It was always snowing at Christmas. December, in my memory, is white as Lapland, though there were no reindeers. But there were cats. Patient, cold, and callous, our hands wrapped in socks, we waited to snowball the cats. Sleek and long as jaguars, and terrible whiskered, spitting and snarling, they would slink and sidle over the white black garden walls, and the lynx-eyed hunters, Jim and I, fur-capped and moccasin trappers from Hudson's Bay, off Eversley Road, would hurl our deadly snowballs at the green of their eyes. The wise cats never appeared. We were so still, Eskimo-footed Arctic marksmen in the muffling silence of the eternal snows, eternal ever since Wednesday, that we never heard Mrs. Protheroe's first cry from her igloo at the bottom of the garden. Or, if we heard it at all, it was to us, like the far-off challenge of our enemy and prey, the neighbor's polar cat. But soon a voice grew louder. "Fire!" cried Mrs. Protheroe, and she beat the dinner gong. And we ran down the garden, with the snowballs in our arms, towards the house. And smoke, indeed, was pouring out of the dining room, and the gong was bombulating, and Mrs. Protheroe was announcing ruin like a town crier in Pompeii. Oh, this was better than all the cats in Wales, standing on the walls in a row. We bounded into the house, laden with snowballs, and stopped at the open door of the smoke-filled room. Something was burning all right. Perhaps it was Mr. Protheroe, who always slept there after midday dinner with a newspaper over his face. But he was standing in the middle of the room saying, "A fine Christmas," and smacking at the smoke with a slipper. "Well, call the fire brigade," cried Mrs. Protheroe as she beat the gong. "Oh, they won't be there," said Mr. Protheroe. "It's Christmas." There was no fire to be seen, only clouds of smoke, and Mr. Protheroe standing in the middle of them, waving his slipper as though he were conducting. "Do something," he said. And we threw all our snowballs into the smoke. I think we missed Mr. Protheroe, and ran out of the house to the telephone box. "Let's call the police as well," Jim said. "And the ambulance. And Ernie Jenkins, he likes fires." But we only called the fire brigade, and soon the fire engine came, and three tall men in helmets brought a hose into the house, and Mr. Protheroe got out just in time before they turned it on. Nobody could have had a noisier Christmas Eve. And when the fireman turned off the hose and was standing in the wet and smoky room, Jim's aunt, Miss Protheroe, came downstairs and peered in at them. Jim and I waited, very quietly, to hear what she would say to them. She said the right thing, always. She looked at the three tall firemen in their shining helmets, standing among the smoke and cinders and dissolving snowballs, and she said, "Would you like something to read?" Now, out of that bright white snowball of Christmas gone, comes the stocking of stockings, that hung at the foot of the bed with the arm of a gollywog dangling over the top, and small bells ringing in the toes. There was a company, gallant and scarlet, but never nice to taste, though I always tried when very young, of belted and busbied and musketed lead soldiers, so soon to lose their heads and legs in the wars on the kitchen table, after the tea-things, the mince-pies, and the cakes that I helped to make by stoning the raisins and eating them had been cleared away. And a bag of moist and many-coloured jelly-babies, and a folded flag, and a false nose, and a tram-conductor's cap, and a machine that punched tickets and rang a bell. Never a catapult. Once, by a mistake that no one could explain, a little hatchet, and a rubber buffalo, or it may have been a horse, with a yellow head and haphazard legs, and a celluloid duck that made, when you pressed it, a most unduck-like noise, a mewing moo that an ambitious cat might make who wishes to be a cow, and a painting book in which I could make the grass, the trees, the sea, and the animals any colour I pleased, and still the dazzling sky-blue sheep are grazing in the red field under a flight of rainbow-beaked and pea-green birds. Christmas morning was always over before you could say Jack Frost. And look, suddenly the pudding was burning. Bang the gong and call the fire brigade and the book-loving fireman. Someone found the silver threepenny bit with a currant on it, and the someone was always Uncle Arnold. The motto in my cracker read, "Let's all have fun this Christmas day. Let's play and sing and shout hooray." And the grown-ups turned their eyes towards the ceiling, and Auntie Bessie, who had already been frightened twice by a clockwork mouse, whimpered at the sideboard and had some elderberry wine. And someone put a glass bowl full of nuts on the littered table, and my uncle said, as he said once every year, "I've got a shoe nut here. Fetch me a shoehorn to open it, boy." And dinner was ended. And I remember that on the afternoon of Christmas Day, when the others sat around the fire and told each other this was nothing, no nothing, to the great snowbound and turkey-proud, yule-log-crackling, holly-berry-bedizened and kissing under the mistletoe Christmas when they were children, I would go out, school-capped and gloved and muffled, with my bright new boots squeaking, into the white world onto the seaward hill to call Jim and Dan and Jack and to walk with them through the silent snowscape of our town. We went padding through the streets, leaving huge, deep footprints in the snow on the hidden pavements. I bet people will think there's been hippos. What would you do if you saw a hippo coming down Terrace Road? Oh, I'd go like this, bang. I'd throw him over the railings and roll him down the hill, and then I'd tickle him under the ear and he'd wag his tail. What would you do if you saw two hippos? Iron-flanked and bellowed he-hippos clanked and blundered and battered through the scudding snow towards us. As we passed by Mr. Daniel's house, "Let's post Mr. Daniel a snowball through his letterbox. Let's write things in the snow. Well, let's write, 'Mr. Daniel looks like a spaniel,' all over his lawn." "Look," Jack said, "I'm eating snow pie. What's it taste like?" "Like snow pie," Jack said. Or we walked to the white shore. "Can the fishes see it snowing?" "Oh, they think it's the sky falling down." The silent, one-clouded heavens drifted onto the sea. "All the old dogs have gone." Dogs of 100 mingled makes yapped in the summer at the sea rim and yelped at the trespassing mountains of the waves. "I bet St. Bernard's would like it now." And we were snow-blind, the travellers lost on the North Hills, and the great dew-lapped dogs, with brandy flasks round their necks, ambled and shambled up to us, baying Excelsior. We returned home through the desolate, poor, sea-facing streets, where only a few children fumbled with bare red fingers in the thick, wheel-rutted snow, and Cat called after us, their voices fading away as we trudged uphill into the cries of the dockbirds and the hooters of ships out in the white and whirling bay. "Bring out the tall tales now, that we told by the fire as we roasted chestnuts and the gaslight bubbled low. Ghosts with their heads under their arms trailed their chains and said, 'Ooh,' like owls in the long nights when I dared not look over my shoulder. Wild beasts lurked in the cubbyhole under the stairs where the gas meter ticked. 'Once upon a time,' Jim said, 'there were three boys, just like us, who got lost in the dark in the snow near Bethesda Chapel. And this is what happened to them.' It was the most dreadful happening I had ever heard. And I remember that we went singing carols once, a night or two before Christmas Eve, when there wasn't the shaving of a moon to light the secret white flying streets. At the end of a long road was a drive that led to a large house, and we stumbled up the darkness of the drive that night, each one of us afraid, each one holding a stone in his hand in case, and all of us too brave to say a word. The wind made through the drive trees noises as of old and unpleasant, and maybe web-footed men wheezing in caves. We reached the black bulk of the house. "What shall we give them?" Dan whispered. "Hark the herald! Christmas comes but once a year!" "No," Jack said. "We'll sing Good King Wenceslas. I'll count three." 1, 2, 3. And we began to sing, our voices high and seemingly distant in the snow-felted darkness round the house that was occupied by nobody we knew. We stood close together, near the dark door. "Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen." And then a small, dry voice, like the voice of someone who has not spoken for a long time, suddenly joined our singing. A small, dry voice from the other side of the door. A small, dry voice through the keyhole. And when we stopped running, we were outside our house. The front room was lovely and bright. The gramophone was playing. We saw the red and white balloons hanging from the gas bracket. Uncles and aunts sat by the fire. I thought I smelt our supper being fried in the kitchen. Everything was good again, and Christmas shone through all the familiar town. "Perhaps it was a ghost," Jim said. "Perhaps it was trolls," Dan said, who was always reading. "Let's go in and see if there's any jelly left," Jack said. And we did that.
We have a special treat for the service today. This is going to be a puppet show with Robin Reed and Helen Berra and Nicole Berra. And I just have to ask a question.
What we were whispering about was, am I going to invite the kids to come up here and sit up here? And the answer is yes.
There's always whispering at Christmas time.
Kids want to come forward? Yeah. That's good. Now, our story isn't a Christmas story. And people around the world celebrate Hanukkah at the same time we're celebrating Christmas. And it's Jewish people who do that. And we have a story, a Hanukkah story. And it's called It Couldn't Be Worse. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Well, you'll see what happens here. And this guy here is going to go and visit a rabbi. And do you know what a rabbi is, any of you?
No.
A rabbi is like a minister, like Jane. And and like Jane, they're very, very smart. They study and learn all sorts of things about the world. And this guy is going to go and try to get help from him. So, enjoy our story. It couldn't get worse.
Ah, husband, it's the Hanukkah season, and we have many things to be thankful for.
Oh, how can a man feel thankful in a wee tiny house? You try to sleep and you cramp your legs. You go through a doorway and you bump your head.
It's not so bad. I've been happy living in our little house.
How can you be? It's such a curse. Oh, it couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse.
Oh, husband, I feel sorry for you. This is a time when everyone should be happy and grateful and count their blessings. I know. Perhaps the rabbi could help you.
How could he do that?
Well, he's very wise. He's lived 99 years and knows everything.
And you think he could help?
I don't think he could make the house bigger, but he might be able to help you to become content and happy.
Yes, my wife, you have had a good idea. I will go to him, and I will... I'm tired of feeling miserable. What shall I say? What do you say to a rabbi? Rabbi, help me, please. I beg to you on bended knees. No. He's not a king. No. Well, I'll knock.
Who is it?
Oh, rabbi, I have come to you. Help me, please. Oh, help me, do.
What is your problem?
Oh, wise rabbi, I've heard that you are greatly wise and intelligent.
That is true. Go on.
And you are very old, and you've lived 99 years.
Well, I've lived twice that long, but I've stopped counting at 99. Go on. Oh, wise one, I have come to you. Help me, please. Oh, help me, do. I feel cooped up in a miserable house that looks like it's built for a baby mouse. I feel squished and scrunched in the squeeze. I beg of you, help me, please. Oh, oh, it's such a curse. Oh, oh, it couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse. So, what do you wish me to do? Help me change this terrible way I'm living. Help me any way that you can. Well, let me ask you, do you have any animals? Yes, but... What sort of animals? They are chickens. Move the chickens into the house.
Move the chickens into the house?
Move the chickens into the house.
But
into the house. Good day.
Good day. Good day. It's a terrible day. It's a terrible, terrible day. It couldn't be worse. Oh, it couldn't be worse. Move the chickens into the house.
Husband, did you see him?
Did I see him?
Well, did you?
I saw him.
Yes, but what did he say?
He was very wise.
Yes?
He gave me advice.
What was it?
Bring the chickens into the house.
The chickens?
The chickens, just when I thought it couldn't be worse.
But there must be a reason.
He didn't say just bring the chickens into the house.
Well, he's very wise.
I know, and he's lived 199 years, so we have to bring the chickens into the house.
Did he say anything else?
Come back in a week. It couldn't be worse. Oh. 1 week later. It couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse.
Good day. I hope you are well.
Well.
And you have the chickens in the house?
Yes, I have the chickens in the house.
So, are they happy?
Yes, they're happy.
And are you?
Oh, I couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse. The chickens, they cluck and they peck and they turn me into a nervous wreck. Oh, it couldn't be worse.
Well then, do you have any other animals?
I have a goat.
Well, bring the goat into the house.
Into the house?
Bring the goat into the house. And come back in 1 week.
Yes. Goat into the house. It couldn't be worse. Couldn't be worse.
Back for more advice?
Yes.
The chicken, the goats, are they doing well? Oh, they're fine. My, my, you are good with animals. Do you have any more?
I have a cow.
Hmm.
I know. Bring the cow into the house.
And come back in a week later, too.
Thank you. Cow, cow, bring back the cow. Oh, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse.
Well, husband, what did he say?
The cow. Bring the cow into the house.
Well, let's get the cow.
One week more later. It couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse.
Well, how are the cow and the goat and the chickens doing?
Oh, the animals are fine.
And how are you doing?
It couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't be worse, it couldn't... I'm all right.
Today, I'm going to show you some wisdom. When things can't get worse, there are only two things they can do. They can stay the same, or they can get better. Which do you choose?
The same, or better, yes, yes, I choose better, yes.
Very well, then, take the animals out of the house.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, wonderful, wonderful, wise rabbi. I will bless you for the rest of my life. You have changed it forever. It's better, 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 better. Oh, oh, dear wife, dear wife, dear wife.
Yes.
We are to take the animals out of the house.
Take them out?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, look at this. Oh, oh, take them out. Shoo, shoo. All the animals out, 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 out. Oh. Oh, oh, look at this, dear wife. It's grown to be huge. It couldn't be better, better, better. And look at this house, a friendly place. It's got enough room. It's got enough space. Aye, aye, it's now just right. Aye, aye, it's warm and bright. It couldn't be, couldn't be, couldn't be better.
Each night a child is born is a holy night. Those were our opening words today, and such words are true. Each night a child is born is a holy night, and on the 25th of December of each year, we celebrate the single birth of a little Jewish baby. A baby whose destiny of greatness was preordained, heralded, and rejoiced in, or so we are told. After the fact. After the fact, we hear how a star shone up in the heavens guiding three wise men from afar who carried with them gifts of welcome to honor the baby. After the fact, we are told how this baby was the Son of God and that with his birth, peace on earth would reign forever and ever. After the fact, we learn how this special baby was to be called the King of Heaven and ruler of the universe. At the time of his birth, however, or so the story goes, his mother and father were in Bethlehem to pay their taxes, and Mary, who was very pregnant, became tired. Jesus' father, Joseph, went from place to place looking for a room so that Mary could lie down and rest. But all he heard over and over again, no matter which door he knocked upon, was, "There is no room for you here." Poor Mary. She and Joseph had walked a very long way from their home, and it was too far and too late to walk home again. But there was no place for them to stay for the night. What should they do? While they were discussing this, Mary started to go into labor. She felt how she was soon going to have her baby, and she must find a place to lie down. The only place Joseph saw was a stable where horses were kept. This was probably not exactly the place Mary or Joseph had in mind, I wouldn't think, for giving birth to their baby. But it was their only choice. So they went into the stable and found an empty stall, and Joseph made for Mary a comfortable bed of straw. And I'm sure he put a blanket on it so that it wouldn't feel all prickly. And then Mary gave birth to a little baby, all alone in the darkness of the stable, with only Joseph to help her. She gave birth to a little baby boy. Jesus, they named him. And he was beautiful to them, just like all babies are beautiful to their parents, a perfect child. They were happy and proud and held Jesus in their arms and thanked God for this miracle, their son. They spoke of this baby as being a miracle, not because they were using language that applied only to Jesus, but because they were saying the word miracle just like all mothers and fathers speak of their children as being miracles, which they are. Mary and Joseph were Jewish, and they believed in God, and they spoke of Jesus as being the Son of God because Jews speak of all people as being the sons and daughters of God, which they also are. If you believe in God. For if you believe in God, wouldn't it make sense that the best of what God made would be a reflection of itself? Just like with any of us do our best and make something new out of nothing, what we make is a reflection of ourselves. Whatever we make, we leave our mark upon it, a little bit of ourselves, a smudge, an imprint, a breath. When Mary felt better after a few days, she and Joseph and their little baby Jesus left Bethlehem and went home again to Nazareth, so the story goes, where he grew up to be a kind and thoughtful man. We know that he grew up to be a kind and thoughtful man because a long, long time after his death, the story of Jesus was written about in the Bible. Jesus never wrote anything himself that we know of, but he had lots of friends when he was growing up, and after he died, those friends spoke about him, and for a very long time after that, people wrote about him. The story we are told, among other things, is that for Jesus, it wasn't enough just to believe in something, but that a person needs to act upon the things one believes in most. Jesus felt that a person needed to pray not just to God, for example, for good things to happen in the world, but that a person needed to make good things happen in the world. We are told that Jesus felt that being religious was more than just going to temple and reading the Torah and completing the rituals, but that being religious meant living a life that mattered. We are told how Jesus thought it was important that all people be treated fairly and well, no matter who they were. And so when he saw things that needed changing or saw people who needed help, he got involved and did what he could to make things better. These things sound good, don't they? And they are good things. But not everyone likes people who do good things. Not everyone likes people who want to do things differently. Not everyone likes people who aren't like everyone else and who want to make change. Remember poor Lucia, the young Italian girl we talked about last week who was killed because she was a Christian at a time when people didn't like Christians? Well, now we're talking about Jesus, a young Jewish man who lived life in a way that wasn't the way everyone else was doing it, and people got upset about that, and he was killed too. This happens a lot in the world. People are being bullied or hurt or killed for being different and for trying to be good, trying to do good works, to try to bring about change. These people are brave because they know that if they do these things, that they might be hurt and killed, but they do what they need to do anyway, even though it is dangerous to them. In our church, we try to remember these people by lighting our chalice every Sunday. And every Sunday, we gather together to remind ourselves about how important it is to do what's right, to help those who need help, to make something better that needs to be made better, and to be brave enough to do it all ourselves, if that's what it takes. And at this time of year, every year, we remember one little baby who grew up to be a brave man, because it's easier to remember how we can be if we remember a story. And we can remember this story because we were all babies once upon a time, just like Jesus. And we all grew up, or are now growing up, and if Jesus could talk about how the world could be a better place to live in, well then, so can we. And if Jesus could live the life he talked about, well, then we can also live that life. The Christmas story of Jesus' birth isn't about a miracle. It's about everyday life. It reminds us of all that is and can be. For unto us a child is given. His story is our story. We are all born, and we will all die one day, for that is the way of things. But in the middle of all of that, between birth and death, we have life, and there are a good many things that need to get done. And so I say to you, as I say to myself, greet friend and stranger alike, and do not say, as they said so long ago in Bethlehem, there is no room here for you. But let us instead open the doors of our hearts and make room for one more to come in and find shelter. For that is indeed what the story of Christmas is all about. Please rise now, as you are able, to sing the hymn number 249 in our hymnals, On This Day Everywhere. going to be singing the next hymn, number 245, Joy to the World. Oh my gosh, I hear sleigh bells. Do you hear sleigh bells?
Oh, oh, oh.
Oh my gosh, Santa is here!
Hello!
Oh!
Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas to you too, Santa! I am shocked!
Well, you are on my nice list. Has anyone here been naughty this year? Thank you for admitting it. We got a few hands up. Oh boy. How many have been nice this year? Many more hands. I appreciate that. So how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you? Would you like to have a seat?
I would love to have a seat. Let my elf give you a hand. Oh, thank you so much. I understand that some of you may want to hear a Christmas story. Is that correct? Yeah?
Please be seated. This is a rare treat.
Now, I usually don't tell a story of Jabez Dawes because that's a little depressing. But I did happen to bring this one with me the night before Christmas.
Aww.
'Twas the night before Christmas, went all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama, in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clutter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment, must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, come on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and prowling of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, as he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and a beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly, maybe more than little, that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head, soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down off a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Aww. Do you think we have some time to give these wonderful children some presents? I think we can make some time. We definitely have to. Do you want to get the presents that we brought?
Oh, you have presents? Oh. Did you put them back here?
I don't know.
You did.
I did. Oh, boy.
And Santa, are you going to need help distributing these?
Probably a couple of helpful elves would be needed.
I think four. Four high school students. Four hefty, strong four. Two. Three. Four. All right.
Would you mind being this?
So, I think we should ask the little ones to come up. Should we start with the ones over here on the right? Oh, you are? Okay. All right, elves.
So,
take some
children, just stay
presents.
Where you are, and the presents are going to come to you. So, one carrier and one distributor.
Remember I asked if you've been nice. If you've been nice, raise your hands. And the elves will come to you.
And they're for everybody.
They're for everybody. I guess we've all been nice this year. Yes.
The reason they're for everybody is because this is an entire congregation filled with children of various sizes.
Didn't get a gift? There's a few gifts left. Is there any sad? I don't want any crying. So, all right.
Well, I have to get on.
Well, Santa, would you just stay and sing with us? We're going to sing a final hymn, Joy to the World.
I'd be happy to.
All right. So please stand as you're able, number 245, Joy to the World.
For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. You can go now. Merry Christmas, and thank you all for coming.